Today on the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast, we have a commissioned episode from Morgan Floyd talking about our top five favorite heroes. All that and more over the set we have no control over.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
We have no control over.
Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name is Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
And in our third chair today, we have Ashley Coffin. How you doing, Ash?
I'm ecstatic about this topic.
It's a fun one. And Jeff said favorite heroes. I would push back in the intro with this most heroic is what we discussed, right?
Well, okay. The write-in from Morgan was, I loved your top five villains episode and would love to hear you three talk about your five favorite heroes and why. I love y'all and thank y'all for making my work day 3,000 times better. Cheers.
Okay. See,
so
okay.
I
based it off that.
I went with favorite.
Okay.
With a little bit of probably also heroic.
See, I did not, because I don't read well, but I did ask you guys, do we mean most heroic? And you guys agreed.
Yeah, heroic, like, for me.
I...
personal. You may not have agreed, Jeff, but you
actually
didn't disagree.
No, nobody agreed with you at all.
Somebody at least did a like or something. Because I remember waiting
on
the answer.
Just to acknowledge, I see that was happening.
Well, then that's what I agree. Okay, so we've apparently done it again, where we like came in with totally different plans here. Well, mine, I was going for most heroic.
I feel like mine still fit that category.
Yes,
and I'll make a case for it.
Yeah, we'll make cases.
We can argue anything into the ground.
That we can. So, but these are not necessarily my top favorites because I have other favorites. But these are my top most heroic. And I had a whole rubric set up. I was doing a whole thing.
Yeah, I mean the question is begged by the content. What defines a hero? Like, what defines somebody being heroic?
Would you like my rubric for it?
Well,
I'm going to give it to you.
Sure. you're going to throw it out there anyway. You might as well just go ahead and lay it out up front.
So I ranked we always do this. We always do whatever you guys want to do to answer the question. And mine are always these complex rubrics. Not complex. This isn't complex. But I base mine, my heroic elements are sacrificial, how big of an impact they had for good, the biggest obstacles, or like how big their obstacles to reach their goal of heroism, and their intentions, which was a little squirrely, but I felt like it was important. Because some people do a big good thing, but they're selfish.
One of mine is not great, but the rest of them are perfect.
It's going to get sloppy. I like it. But you know, that's what we've always said. What about you, Jeff? How did you think about yours?
Well, I mean, I started with favorite. I was like, I like these ones cause yay. And like, you know, just throw the toys together. And then I started thinking about like, you know, a hero sacrifices for those that they want to protect. A hero wants to protect more than anything. And, you know, I also kind of went with, like, who has had, like, the least, I guess, like, the least villainous backstory, almost, or like the least bad backstory.
Interesting.
Like, I wanted to pick Wanda Maximoff for my number five, just mostly because, you know, she's really hot, but, and it was like favorites, right? Favorites. And then it was like, no, she had the whole like bad arc in Age of Ultron. She did that thing where she enslaved a town. She choked everybody. Like, that's not good. Yeah, it's not good PR.
By my rubric that I was doing, I definitely had to like dock her some points for biggest impact for good. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's real strong, but she has not had a good impact on the world thus far.
Yeah, she's had some impacts.
Oh, yeah. Big impact.
I don't judge her for anything she did, but she's not on my top five, but I don't judge her for anything she did.
Yeah, at this point, I'm not even sure that we know she's a hero based on, like, I love her so much.
That's what I like about her, and that's why I didn't pick her.
I get it. But at the end there, she's not looking like a hero last time we saw her.
Ashley's list is like, who do I hate the most?
Mine are like, who are the most hero-y?
Yeah. Okay. Who are the people I identify with the least?
What was your methodology, Ashley?
Well, going by heroes, and that's why I texted you, and I was like, Loki, ? Like, it was very difficult for me to think of characters I personally don't resonate the most with.
Right, right.
So I had to think of, like, who would be on that most, like, who was the most uplifting, who was the most helpful for other characters, who was the most positive throughout the entire saga. And I feel like my little grouping is pretty strong.
Okay. Well, see, it sounds like you guys did a very similar idea that I did. So, like, I like it. I like it that it sounds like
we're vastly different.
It's going to be pretty close because even though you said favorites, it sounds like you did. Yeah. You wrote me that thing about Loki and I was like, all right, based on my rubric, in-game Loki is a 10 of 20, series Loki is an 11 of 20, and Sylvie is a 17 of 20.
I don't know what that means.
I know, but I like it. I like having rubrics.
You're forcing a lot of math and order into things that need to be chaos.
Listen, when I was trying to think of the best, most heroic, and I wanted to take my own feelings about just how much I enjoy watching them out of it. So I tried to think of like, That was my thinking, but obviously I was very wrong. Morgan actually specifically said favorite, and I fucked up. So, sorry, Morgan, but this is most heroic for me.
I catered mine towards what you said, so sorry, Morgan, cool. As well.
I got you, Morgan.
Jeff did somewhat too, so let's not toward what I said, but most heroic
I'm
at
ready.
Least.
All right, my number five is Gamora.
Okay.
Ooh.
That doesn't fit my criteria, but okay.
I feel like Gamora had such a personal part in all of these movies, like her love for her sister, her love for Quill, even her love for her father and Thanos. Like, she always was trying to do the best thing that that she could do at that moment for the goal she was trying to accomplish. And I feel like without Gamora, we would have a lot of terrible situations. Because Gamora, she's so powerful and she's such like a feminine icon. And like Gamora is just, you know, I don't know, everything that I like. She is the funny. She did it all for me. She checked all my boxes.
I dig it. She was not far off in points for me from being on my list. Like she was up there. Where she lost me was that like the impact for good. I was just thinking about like her whole goal is to stop Thanos. Like really like the reason she leaves is because Thanos is after this thing and she does not accomplish that goal. You know, she does do some good things in her career as a hero.
She dies trying to stop him.
She had a bit of an impact there.
See, yeah, she got five for sacrificial for me because she's literally begging to be sacrificed at one point. She's like, please sacrifice me.
Told like Quill, like, you have to do this thing. Like, mm-hmm. And even like
with super heroic, I agree.
Yeah, and with her sister, and there's just so many little things in there. She's just like everything that checks the boxes of what a heroic character for me
right.
would be.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. I think, and we'll talk about it later in my list, but because I have other characters that were bad that turned to good. But with her, for me, it was like the impact was like she did a lot of bad working for Thanos and then kind of turned around to do good at the end and then didn't accomplish those goals. Although she did do big things like saving Xandar, for instance.
For a minute. Ugh.
Yeah. For a minute. Well, see, that's another great point.
It wasn't lasting.
She did help save the universe from Ego. So there's that. All the Guardians get that on their resume.
It's unfortunate that like she sacrificed everybody for saving her sister, but just the little things about Gamora. She's one of my favorite characters.
Oh, for sure. She's definitely a favorite.
So many things that wouldn't happen if she wouldn't have been there.
Yeah, like the decimation of Xandar.
That was going to happen.
The only reason Xandar got decimated is because the Power Stone was there.
Yeah.
That's true. Dang.
But they stopped it from being decimated 2 months earlier.
But if Quill had never stolen the stone, Thanos would have just gotten it, right?
Yeah, Thanos would have just gotten it.
And they would have never had to destroy Xandar. Because it would have still been on Morag.
I mean, people, you could also put her in that category to blame for what happened with Thanos, because if she just didn't say where the Soul Stone was and just sacrificed Nebula, that would have been a whole thing. But part of that choice, like, I think that's what makes her a hero to me. I'm selfish, too.
I never really thought about it, but that scene is another example of the "we don't trade lives" ethos that runs through all those movies.
Yeah, Gamora could have stopped it right there, but she told Thanos where the stone was and saved Nebula.
Yeah, which agreed, like, that makes her compassionate, it makes her loving, but sometimes the heroes have to do those really hard things, and like, that was not the right decision for the universe. Sometimes you have to make that utilitarian decision.
It's just such a shame. It came right on the cusp of her, like, changing who she was.
Right.
Trying not to torture her sister.
Yeah.
And to save her from that. It just, like, it's when the cards line up. It's like, one of those impossible questions. And that's what I love about the MCU. They just, like, put these things in front of us that are heart-wrenching.
100%.
What would you do? You know, your sister or everyone in the universe who you don't know.
Yeah, 100%. That's so freaking hard. Like, that is just incredibly hard. And I've never really thought about it that way, but this huge question that they're asking us, this, like, doing good for the single person versus doing the good thing for everyone. Trading lives, as it were. Like, the utilitarian argument versus the, like, in-your-face empathy argument. Like, that is such a heady thing to think about. And for this big tentpole movie to really dig down on that question and not just ask it once. It's not like they just, like, breeze by that question, but that movie is built around the idea. Two full-length 3-hour movies built around the idea that here's what happens when you don't think about the bigger context. And here's what happens when you do. Here's what happens when you're willing to do whatever it takes. And here's what happens when you won't compromise your values. But that's even such a, like, even saying compromise your values, I feel like that's, it's wrong,
Cap,
too.
Like, Cap's like, I won't compromise my values. Yeah. And it's like, well, you're wrong.
Oh, so good.
I know.
So freaking good.
I'm Team Cap, by the way. In case anybody was wrong. Tony was wrong.
My number 5 is Hawkeye.
Okay.
That makes sense.
For most heroic. And again, I ran it through my rubric. And what's funny is he's the only person I gave half points to. He got a 17 on my 20-point scale, or 17.5. I had a lot of 17s, and I was glad I gave him a 0.5 because I had a rule when I was going down my rubric. If they didn't actually die, they can't get a 5 for sacrificial. That was like, so 4 gets him a whatever. And so, like, I got to Hawkeye and I was like, buddy, tried to die so hard. 0.5.
Yeah. He tried to steal her moment and she did not let it happen.
You got to give points to Hawkeye for going up against the crazy shit that they go up against while being just a dude with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was his choice.
That's his choice.
And that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Could have been a gnat. It needs to be a Legolas.
I'm just saying, that amount of heroism.
It's cool. Yeah. Those are cool.
He's a regular ass person.
Yeah.
And he has gone up against freaking Ultron in a flying city.
Well, that, like, yeah. When I said obstacles, I included just being a regular human as an obstacle when I was like thinking about like what obstacles they have to face.
Yeah. Nat didn't have a bow and arrow. She just had her palms and fists.
She had her widow's bite. She had guns. She had electrified sticks.
He had blow up arrows.
Yes. Yeah. He's got all kinds of trick arrows.
Yeah.
They both have technological tricks, but they're still both so regular impressed. Ass people.
I'm so impressed. You're right. Hawkeye.
You win. Just you wait.
Oh,
couple of weeks.
I know. I'm actually so excited for a Christmas themed Marvel show. Like, I can't wait. And I can't wait for the Guardians Christmas thing next year. Is that next year?
That's next year.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Jeff, what's your number five? No crossovers yet, by the way. I'm surprised. Yeah. Kinda.
I mean, we haven't even gotten through
number five,
whole set yet. my number five is because of his innocence and his having all of the data available to him and still choosing to be a hero, Vision. Because he's got all of the data about how shitty humanity is. He's calculated all of it.
Mm-hmm.
But then he still chooses to save people and be a hero.
Well, he chooses hope. Like, you've got Ultron and Vision are these two opposite sides of that coin.
Ultron looked at the internet for 2 minutes and was like, society needs to be destroyed.
That's
and
right.
I don't disagree with him.
Right.
Like, I saw 4chan once, too.
And that really is the difference between sometimes what makes a villain and a hero is the villain being that, like, completely, you know, well, nihilistic version of, like, hopelessness and then Vision having that hope, you know? But then again, it kind of presses against the idea of utilitarianism, though, that we're talking about from, cause the Ultron idea is basically like, this is going to cause a lot of pain to a lot of people, but it's better. It's better. You know what I mean? But Vision is like, no, I think it's about, he sees the value in people versus Ultron.
It's like
does
that
not.
Speech he gave to the last Ultron at the end of Age of Ultron.
Yeah.
Like, I agree. I like that choice.
Yeah, that's good. It's a good one. Really good.
I do
one.
Too.
What you got, Ash? What's your number four?
Okay, my number four is Rocket.
Ooh, interesting choice. Throw us
so
out some justifications.
Also, like, based a little bit more on my thinking that this was about my favorite heroes, but it also can kind of like Rocket has the ability to. Like rabble rouse, you know, like he can be a cheerleader and get people into the mood. Like he said Captain America is good at speeches, but he's also good at like, okay, I gotta be the captain now, going in and doing the things that need to be done and saying the things that need to be said to the heroes to help move like their course along.
Oh, yeah.
He's almost like the bard of the group, in a way, is what you're getting
at. Yes. Oh, yeah. Like the most angry bard that you could ever imagine. Like, so angry.
Like, thinking back on it, I do really love that part in Infinity War, where Rocket's just like, say you get this hammer, then what? It's like, I'm going to defeat Thanos. It's like, but you already failed. It's like, he's never fought me. It's like, he has. He's never fought me twice.
Well, but... even when they're on Asgard, and he was like, hey, man, I lost a lot of people, too. You did. We all lost stuff. I'm trying to get my family back as well as you, so can you pull it together? Like, I feel like of all the Marvel characters in the entire MCU, I would be a Rocket. Like, I resonate with Rocket. We sound exactly the same.
All right. Can never unhear.
It's Bradley Cooper, and he's from my area, so if you just listen to it, me and Rocket, we talk exactly the same. We have the same thought process.
That's amazing.
Like, maybe he's a hometown hero.
He's your favorite hometown hero.
I really, everything, like, besides when he has that freak out at the prison, and almost kills everybody. But that's something I would do too. I can't even say that's not something I resonate with. Like, like I see red. It's like Kill Bill. It's like, and I want to kill you.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about his speeches and how he's the inspiration. And I think of him less as inspiration and it's more as like the voice of very practical reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
Him and Yondu in Guardians 2.
And they are those that are very willing to like give up on a principle in the moment because they don't see the like value in what they're talking about doing. Like they will decide not to take on a mission if it's too dangerous or like, and they're both that way. That yeah. Yeah. I love the connection between Yondu and Rocket in Guardians 2 is just the best. Like,
yeah.
Oh, so freaking good. Mm. Up next for me, my number 4 is Groot.
Okay.
Groot. Anybody got a Groot?
So no? we're going through all of the
Guardians.
That's why I picked them for all my fantasy stuff, because Guardians are my favorite.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. Guardians are, every one of them has a huge flaw, I feel like, when I was going down, like, making my little thing, but except
that's
for
why
Groot.
I resonate with them.
Right. Except Groot. The first Groot. I feel like the new Groot was still, the jury's still out, but like, the first Groot, I mean, like, sacrificial, absolutely. Huge impact. He does save Xandar, although...
But he would also kill people without thinking twice, which I really appreciate. Like, if you got in his way or Rocket was like, kill that guy, he would kill you.
Yeah, yeah.
Heart adult Groot. He's my favorite Groot.
Oh, me too.
I think that probably docks a few points from the hero scale.
No, he's like, a hero.
We've only seen him kill, like...
Bad guys.
They're all maybe very bad people. Sorry, quote from The Big Hit. When his girlfriend finds out he's a hitman, Mark Wahlberg says, they were all very like, bad people.
They're all very bad people, Jerry.
But yeah, I think Groot's, I mean, his sacrifice, he's seems very, no pun intended, but he seems very sage. when he's
I don't
like,
have time for this.
I like it.
Like, he just seems like a wise old tree. You know what I mean? And like, we don't realize how wise until he says, we are Groot at the end. It's just really a beautiful moment. And I love it.
Yeah. And he's the one that convinces Rocket to go and save everybody. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, he tells him, I am Groot. And he's like, God, just, you're making me kick, or was it beat up grass?
It's so good.
Yep.
He's always been like Rocket's. It's really an interesting dynamic because he's always been Rocket's.
Conscience.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. He's the Jiminy Cricket on, except he's...
What do you wish upon a Groot?
Jiminy Cricket, but Rocket's on his shoulder, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's kind of
funny. Little role reversal.
Role reversal. But with all that being said, like, now we're going to see what a Groot raised by Rocket is like, which is just going to be a very different Groot.
But like Rocket, Quill, and kind of Thor.
Right. It's going to be weird.
This is my friend tree.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be really good.
My number 4 is... I forgot to include that part of being a hero is taking in the argument from the other side and... Mm. And, you know, using that to color your own beliefs or inform your own beliefs and maybe perhaps change your mind.
People often forget the part of the sentence that says, compromise where you can, but when you can't, stand like a tree. You know what I mean? Like that whole thing.
Plant yourself.
Yeah, plant yourself. Compromise where you can. And yeah, I just agree with you.
So my number 4 is Black Panther.
Ooh. Yes.
T'Challa. I like it
a lot.
Because he lost the moral argument mm-hmm. against Killmonger. And he was able to be the bigger person and tell all of those past kings, you are all of you wrong. That's mm-hmm. actually pretty solid. Like, he was able to tell them all that they were wrong and say, like, you know, this way that we have been in Wakanda is not the best way. This is not the way that we should be. We need to open ourselves to the world and help everybody that we can.
Yeah.
And, like, it was such a powerful moment.
I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I agree. I like that one.
I like him a lot. He was up near the top of my list, and, like, if it were favorites, he probably would have been pushed in there for me. And apparently it should have been favorites. Sorry about that, Morgan. But for me, it basically ended up, like, when I was looking at his effect on the universe or whatever, I just hate, he hasn't had as much time in it. I mean, we've had one movie. And it's so sad that we won't get more, because I'd love to see the impacts that the Wakandan outreach is going to have on the rest of the world.
I feel like we might still see.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. For sure. We haven't yet. So that's why he didn't make my list, but it's a great one.
I like to think so too.
I'm like mad that I didn't think of that one. Well, we've been doing really well with not picking all the same. This is super fun.
Matt picked his first of the Guardians, and it kind of made me wonder, like, okay, well, you've got four Guardians and somebody else.
On your list. Dude, no, Groot's on there. I have no more Guardians, because every one of the Guardians, as I was putting them through my rubric, was like, had huge, like, oh, well, they get a zero for that. Rocket's not sacrificial at all.
Hey.
And Quill has had, like, no, sorry, Rocket, sorry. Quill has had no, has had a horrible impact on the universe.
yep.
Not positive at all. I mean, saved him from Ego, but it's yet to be seen. Like, that Thanos punch. I am actually shocked that they let Quill do that, because Quill was such a beloved character.
That's such, like, so, I don't know how to explain it, but, like, I have no, it's hard, like, not to get personal, but it's like, I have no family, and, like, my husband is, like, everything to me. And if somebody took that from me, the rage that I would feel being in front of them with them incapacitated would be overwhelming. It would be uncontrollable. Like, the red you see in that moment is very real and very human. And I feel like that's what they were trying to show with Quill.
Yeah, I see that. I see that. I don't think it's a bad choice. I'm more like from a Disney perspective. I'm talking about, like, from a business perspective. Quill is such a beloved character, and everyone is mad at him, like, across the entire fandom.
Made him real.
It totally did. And, like, I'm wondering how they will address it going forward. Like, how that will it weigh on him? Will it, yeah, you know, will it even be brought up again? Because he's also the kind of character that's sort of like, the past is the past, moving forward, listening to my song, do-do-do.
I think you're right, though, because there's still Gamora, the Gamora who doesn't know everything that they had, like, together. And
yeah.
That is, he's not going to be able to give that up easily.
No.
Yeah, but think if they get to her and, you know, they have a conversation, like, that we had Thanos incapacitated, and for you, Peter punched him in the face a few times and kind of broke that incapacitation.
But it's like, then you got to think of the Doctor Strange thing. And if that was not the way it was supposed to happen, then he would have seen it and stopped it. But that was the way it needed to happen for everything to happen, which is their easy way to write out of this problem that we just can't stop thinking about. And we got to let it go and think about it like that. Like, that was not the way it was supposed to happen. Peter did exactly what he was supposed to do for that timeline to move forward.
I can't go with that. I still, like, it's still his character doing a thing that he is within his character fully. And, like, it makes you think, like, is he the hero of the story? Especially with, like, them putting Thor on the ship with him from now on. And the idea in the comics, the Guardians change a lot. Like, they've been different groups of Guardians over the many years. And I'm really wondering if, like, we're either, like, Quill will either, I predicted it, whatever, way back in Guardians 2, that Quill could easily become a villain, especially if his ego powers came back somehow, like, and he, like, saw a way back to, like, he could very much be a Wanda, as it were, like, he could very much have his power manifest and try to get back the world that he created. You could see him, like, living on an ego-like planet with, like, his Gamora wife and children, and them having to stop him or something, like, it.
Or, like, Adam Warlock has to stop him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's how, oh.
I want that. Like, now that I see that, I want my favorite character to become the biggest villain. Like, that sounds fun to me.
Welcome to my world.
Speaking of your world, who's your number three?
Okay, my number three, also based off me assuming this was about who I like the best, it is Scott Lang, Ant-Man.
Good choice, good choice.
Okay.
Even I just though, feel like
yeah,
whenever someone needed him, they called on him. He's like the most wholesome. He's like a good guy.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And there's no more gooder guy than Paul Rudd. And all you have to do is throw him in some abs and spandex, and he's Ant-Man. He's
still a good guy. Throw him in some abs.
Throw him in some abs.
I wish I could be thrown in some abs.
Me too.
Me too.
Throw us all in. Hire me, Marvel. I'll do whatever if you put me with your trainers.
I'll work out all day.
Ask Kumail.
Yeah, no, that Ant-Man's actually like a really good call. Like from my perspective, from my rubric, like when I put him through it, I was like, oh damn. Like I, for a second, right. He was like the highest scoring guy I had. I was like, well,
is he not on your list though?
He is not on my list. Other people ended up superseding him, but like sacrifice, like he dove into the quantum realm, you know, because he knew he had to, not knowing if he could get back. He
helped Cap knowing he could get in trouble.
Well, talking about impact on the universe, like, he's the reason they had time travel.
Rats are the reason. But well, yeah.
Yeah, but they brought him back. Like, he's the one that brought... But in the end, I basically, like, docked him a point because that impact was not really... He didn't do the time travel. He was basically just a messenger saying it was possible, which.
Yeah, he brought the idea.
Yeah, he brought the idea.
That's where, like, my favorite person came in, and, like, I just love Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
You can't, he's so wholesome. He's every woman. It's on him.
Like, every time he's gone to prison so far, it's been doing something good.
Yeah, no, you're right. Like I'd forgotten that, but yeah, he went to prison for good thing, right? Yeah.
Yep.
He's like modern day Robin Hood.
Right. He like saves someone's pension or something like that. I'm forgetting.
He found a fraudulent call at the company that he was working for, and when he blew the whistle, they fired him. So he hacked their systems, gave all the money back to the people that they had been, or that it had been stolen from.
Hero.
And then put the guy's Bentley into the pool.
Hero.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I'd forgotten that.
Hero.
Yeah, no, he's really heroic, actually. And his intentions are really good.
Yep.
He's also been through a lot of obstacles.
He loves Captain America.
He came up against the obstacle of Baskin Robbins.
Right.
Hey, Baskin Robbins don't play.
Baskin Robbins. You can't work there if you know, they need to open the shit up a little bit more. People are just trying to make their day. You know, people are just trying to get through in this hard life. Baskin Robbins.
Baskin Robbins always finds out.
Really coming a Baskin Robbins bashing moment here. But yeah, no, I'm with you. I think Ant-Man's a great choice.
I love your ice cream.
I love your ice cream. Please sponsor us.
Just not your hiring process.
Yeah, that is interesting. Like, I wonder how they got back, because like, clearly Baskin Robbins was in on it. Their branding's everywhere. So, like,
yeah.
I wonder how they let themselves be in that.
It
moment,
was like that
movie.
Scene. The guy was like so excited about what he was doing, and it was like, oh no, but I can't hire you here because of you know those laws.
It wasn't a violent crime. It was a cool crime.
Yeah, you're cool. You're a Robin Hood.
Do you want one of those mega blasts on your way out?
You next, Matt.
My next is Captain America is my number three.
He's my number three.
What?
He's my number one.
He's your number one?
What? Wow. Okay, so Cap is doing rather well in the running here for whatever the prize is, the top five.
Yeah.
Because that's a lot of... after having no crossover for two whole rounds, having three crossovers. I mean, it's Cap. You gotta...
It's Cap. It's America's ass.
Why do you think he's number one? I was like, I had enough reasons, but then two more, Cheek one and two, raised their hands.
Indeed.
No,
indeed.
I have a lot of reasons why Cap's my number one.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll piggyback off you guys.
He's the prototype hero.
Yeah.
He is everything.
When I was thinking about this question, my mind went to Cap immediately. I was like, Cap's got to be number one. And it wasn't until I really thought. So the only thing I docked him for was, this is it's controversial, but as for sacrifice, he did decide to go be selfish in the end, which I don't disagree with. I think that's fine. It's good for you. Like, that's a great decision.
Going back with Peggy?
Yeah.
Ooh, I agree with you.
We don't know what he did after that. Like, he may have gone back and he may be like in some sort of secret organization where he was fighting. But like, for sacrifice, he lost a point for me. And for, biggest obstacles, he lost a point for me. Although he had some huge obstacles, he did get the serum. And like, I just couldn't give him as big of obstacles as some of the, like, just the humans that are, like, just humans. You know what I mean?
He, like, totally didn't need to go down with that plane either. And I know I had him as number one, but, like, if you really think about it, that cut scene from Infinity or Endgame with Rhodey being like, why did you crash the plane into the water? You could have just bailed. He's like, I don't know. Like, you sound like us.
Yep.
Yeah. And I get why you cut that, because continuity problem.
Right. Totally.
Plot hole.
Well, I remember us talking about that. That wasn't even a plot hole we'd ever talked about.
No.
But like, it was such an obvious one. Like, yeah, why didn't he bail?
He would have been fine.
Yeah. He would have been fine, like, land somewhere.
Because he didn't really want to marry Peggy Carter.
Oh. Wow.
Yikes.
He's waiting for me. What do you mean?
He was waiting for her niece. He like, you're good. I'm gonna wait a generation or two.
Lines, not brunettes.
What are any other thoughts on Captain America, Jeff?
I gotta say, like, you say that he didn't really have that much in the way of obstacles to overcome, but even when he was still the shrimpy guy that he was in the beginning of the first Avenger, he was diving on grenades for people.
Totally agree.
Like, he stood up for what was right. He was Chris Evans said in all of the interviews, he's the guy who's good for the sake of being good.
Right.
For no reason other than to be good.
Well, you both put him at three, right?
That's right.
So what are you defending? He should have been higher
No, I think he's just saying, disagreeing with the idea. The thing that my last two, and you'll see when we get there, are there people that had to deal with real internal struggles to become a hero? So you talked to, I think, was it you who talked about, not using people that had been villains of any type? Like, I kind of had a different take. Like, that is an obstacle to overcome. So when I'm thinking of obstacles, like, you had to leave a world that you knew in whatever else and become a good guy. Like, that's an obstacle to being a hero. Not just an obstacle in the way of your life, but an obstacle in the way of you achieving the goals of, like, being good. And I think that because Cap, the only reason I really docked him there was because Cap has just kind of always had this perfect moral center. And like, even he has huge struggles against external threats, but he just never seems to have to really wrestle with his internal, morality. I'm not saying he never wrestles with a decision, because he clearly does, but he always knows he's right. And that, I don't know, there's something about that that makes him like, he's almost like an inborn hero. Like, he was just a hero to begin with. You know what I mean?
I think that's why I put mine for him as one.
Yeah, I totally get that.
Because, like, he had to deal with those things, like, and coming from someone who couldn't do it in the beginning, like, couldn't defend his country, wasn't allowed to fight for it. And then when he did become Cap, like, he could do those things. Like, for me, that's why it was, that point that put him over, like, he was just continuously being able to overcome those certain obstacles that was holding him back. It's like, not to say, like, go get the super serum, people, that's great, but like,
right
before, all the only thing he could contribute to society was jumping on a bomb.
Right
But now he's something more, and he figured out like what to do with that.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's escalated.
I'm only defending it because it's my number one, and I don't want to have to do it again when we get there.
Oh no, and you should, like, for sure.
Yeah, like, to back you up though, like, when given like when given the opportunity, when given the chance to like dive on the grenade, or when given the chance to take the plane down, or when given the chance to, you know, like he goes, as it escalates, he rises to meet that challenge. Like his powers may not grow, but the circumstances are. And he's rising every time to be like, you know, I can't fight this Thanos guy, but I'm going to hold his hand. And I'm going to stare him in the eyes.
Like something about someone who makes decisions that aren't 100% right that like personally resonates with me. So like thinking about it as my favorite hero, that's why I think Cap, like I resonate so well with him because he's just always constantly wanting to do the best things. And sometimes it's not the right one and he is flawed. And I think it's so important to point out sometimes that superheroes can be flawed because we all are. And that's what makes them human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's just like what I love about Captain America.
Yeah.
That's fair. That's fair.
Absolutely.
So we've got your number two left, Ash. We've got my 2-1 and Matt's 2-1. So
should I go first?
I think Matt goes with number two. I'll do number two. And then back to Ashley for your number two and then our ones.
And we'll see if things line up and then we'll redo that. But yeah. So my number two, I mentioned people who've had to struggle to figure out who they are and someone who's overcome a lot, but also has had a good heart from the beginning, but has to really struggle with parts of himself. And that is Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner.
Bruce Banner, man. By my thought of what
a
hero is.
So, I get it.
Sacrificial. Like, he's willing to do the snap. He even, and I think this is a version of sacrifice, as awful as it is, like, he would have rather died then let the Hulk hurt people. You know, like, he's really the version of him that is earlier on, like, he's a very sacrificial person. Talking about an impact for good, he's the one that brought them all back. Like, yes, Tony beat Thanos, but honestly, like, they might have been able to beat Thanos, like, without the snap. The snap is one way to take out Thanos' army, but, like, they were pretty pinned down and whatever. Like, it's probably the right thing to do. If you got the stones, use them. But, like, that sounded funny. If you got the stones.
That's what she said.
but, like, Banner's the one that brought the half of the universe back. And he's the one that could take it. And he, even though he didn't sacrifice his life, he was willing to, and he sacrificed the use of his arm, as we've seen in future stuff. He's gonna be in a sling still, like, and not to mention, you know, his willingness to, like, he didn't try to get rid of the Hulk, he tried to meld with the Hulk, and I think that, like, him becoming Smart Hulk is him reconciling himself with his sort of darker nature, and this thing that he can't control, and sort of, like, learning to live with the thing that is part of him, is part of his psyche, is part of his, and I think we all kind of have to do that with our, like, flaws in life, and I just think that makes
Banner
him heroic.
Age of Ultron would have just run away with Black Widow if she would have agreed to leave with him and leave everybody. But Banner post that is exactly who you're describing.
Yeah.
You're talking about a very modern Banner.
Well, like, imagine if Widow would have left with him, like, what kind of different story we would have.
Yeah.
Like, would they have come back when the Thanos shit hit the fan?
You know they would have, but, like, or at least she would have.
She would have.
And that's the thing is, like, he wanted to flee the monster. You know what I mean? Like, and he wanted her to flee the monster, like, in herself. Like, and I've reinterpreted all of that. Everybody has this problematic thing about her thinking she's a monster. Like, my take on that, and the song is coming soon, but, like, my take on that is the monster that she's talking about is her willingness to fight and fight and fight no matter what.
Like, and kill people. Yeah.
Fight and kill and sacrifice anything in her life to do the right thing, as it were, to keep fighting. And, like, that's the thing that she thinks is kind of a monster. And, like, when she pushes him off that thing, she says, I need the monster right now. Like, she has to also engage with the monster. Like, she can't run away. Like, she has to fight. She has to keep fighting. And, like, she doesn't know how to have a life. So that's the way I interpret Age of Ultron, so that it's less problematic.
Well, I also see it as her saying that, like, just being able to kill, like, it's something, like, having children isn't something you have to think about when you can shut that down. You can easily kill people and continue on this path of killing, which she was an assassin.
Right. It's the way she says it's the one thing that could be more important. That take away the hopeful things that they have for a future. Yeah. Is basically
it's not,
the idea.
Not having children what makes you the monster. It's being able to kill so many people without thought. That's what is the monstrous part of it.
Right. I get that. I think that's that's another good way to look at it. That's less problematic than just like, they just, so the scene is so clunky.
Watch Kill Bill. Kill Bill does it perfectly for you.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Who's next?
I think it's me. My number two. Talk about sacrifice. It's the main thing. A hero that was willing to sacrifice the entirety of the rest of his time. Doctor Strange.
Oh, with the Dormammu?
Yeah, willing to put, like, himself into this recurring situation where he loses over and over and over again just to trap Dormammu there so that Dormammu cannot, like, take over Earth. That's a pretty big sacrifice.
That's a good one.
That is a good one.
And he's super powerful.
So powerful.
We're talking about, you know, dump the toy box out because, you know, favorite toys, whatever. He's super powerful.
It's hard for me to ever say anything. Like, Doctor Strange is, like, my favorite. I just love him so much, and he's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I can't wait for us to, like, start to finally explore how powerful Doctor Strange is. Because, like, Wanda's powerful, and she's going to be super powerful in the next movie. But, like, Doctor Strange right now is the Sorcerer right. Supreme, or is going to be the Sorcerer Supreme.
If he isn't yet.
He's not yet. I don't think. Like, if he passes it to her, that's just Benedict Cumberbatch wanting to be out of it. You know?
Yeah.
But yep. If he holds it, then we're going to get to finally see in the MCU what a real Sorcerer Supreme looks like, besides the Ancient One. And it would be amazing.
I sure hope Marvel can hold on to him for a few movies. It's just like, we're losing so many of the kind of OGs, you know?
In the comics, no spoiler alert, Doctor Strange passes the Sorcerer Supreme on to Wanda.
Right, right.
I mean, a lot of people have been Sorcerer Supreme.
Wouldn't that be perfect to do with these two people, thinking of the actors and where they are in their timelines? Like, sure. What things they would want to produce? Like, he wants to win an Oscar.
Didn't he get one for The Imitation Game?
I thought so, yeah.
He was nominated for that, but I don't know. He didn't win, like, Best Actor, no.
Okay. Huh.
Well, he had an amazing performance in it.
Yes, it was very good.
Oh, man. Well, before we all hit our last one, let's take a really short break. We'll be right
back. With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Back after this ad we have no control over. And we're back.
And we're back.
And we're back.
All right, guys. It's time for our final choices and the tallying up of, and we may have to end up, we may have some ties because I thought we would have more crossover on our list, but there's been very little crossover, which is very fun. Final one, I believe, Ashley, your final number two.
Black Widow. Yeah.
Oh,
Natasha.
Black Widow, she is my number one.
Oh, shit. And I totally see that. My number one was Cap. So, yeah. Like, I'm going to combine ours to be like, they were the perfect couple that yes. I never got to see that I wish that I saw.
Basically, the two of you, your favorite is Captain America, the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's still my favorite movie.
Black Widow, I mean, you can say yours first or mine. I can't. I just, she got literally, for my rubric, she hit everything.
She did all of the things.
Her sacrifice level, obvious. Her, like, impact for good, obvious. Her big obstacles.
The only reason she was my number two was because Cap came in from a place of wholesomeness, where she came in right. from a place of, like, Nazism. Or
right,
Nazism
and that's
or
just
whatever.
Different ways of us thinking about it, like, yeah. of evil or whatever, or not even evil, just a different place.
Yeah, and it's not her fault that she thought like that, not at all.
Right, exactly.
But what I like about Natasha is she's not like, if I, my question was, who was my top hero?
Right.
Heroism. It would be Cap, but not as number two is who I would resonate most with as a person. Like the flawed part of being a hero, the things that you did in your past, you know, mm-hmm. that's why, like, I absolutely love Black Widow. Like, honestly, if I could pick a movie that I could, like, if I met a genie and I rubbed on a magic lamp and they were like, what's your wish to be in a movie? Obviously. Well, which one? My two would be Black Widow and the Bride in Tarantino's, like, Bride things. Because the both of them have this dark past and are just, like, making comeuppance. And they're just powerful women. And the two of them are, like, the most amazing heroines that you could have as, like, a girl growing up in the nowadays that I could think of. It's just, I don't know. It's hard to explain and like express into words how important Natasha Romanoff is to girls nowadays.
She's so, so wonderful. So wonderful. And I love how she uses the patriarchy against itself. You know what I mean? She's constantly yep. using people's underestimating of her to conquer them.
It's so important to do. Yeah. Like they did it so well.
Her social intelligence to be able to look at someone and like be able to pick them apart and just
like in the beginning yeah. of Avengers, like she's in this gorgeous slinky black dress getting like whatever. I don't even want to say that she was the assailant in what was happening at the beginning of Avengers because she was controlling the entire situation.
It's so yeah, exactly. I'm in the middle of an interrogation. He's giving me everything.
He's giving me everything.
I don't give everything.
And I'm gonna walk out of here with my 4-inch heels in my hands. Like, ugh.
It's so good.
Yep. Natasha Romanoff.
So freaking good. It's that scene which leads right to the Loki scene, which is absolutely amazing, where she does the same basic maneuver where she uses Loki's pride and underestimating of her against him. And it's so, and then in the very final scene of Black Widow, she does the same maneuver. It's like, that's Black Widow's move more so than the thing where she grabs guys with her thighs. Like that's her move, you know?
Yeah.
Sorry. It's like, I want to be a villain.
The way that she just takes the pain and everything to eventually put it back onto her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, it's just, Natasha is a heroine for the ages.
For
like,
the ages.
They've done it yep. so well. Is that a
fully,
well, they
fully agree.
She's just like, I can't say enough about Natasha mm-hmm. Romanoff.
I fully agree. All right. Well, this is sure. the final one. And I feel, so Jeff's about to name his. Yeah, I know who it is.
I was like, you know exactly who it is.
I was like,
everybody
wait,
listening
Tor?
Knows who this is.
Totally Tor.
Gotta give a shout out to my man.
Groot!
The God of Thunder.
Since this is an audio version of the podcast this week, he picked up his Stormbreaker.
That now will now make noise. Loud in the background yep. for a while.
He's like,
Thor is clearly your final choice.
Yeah, Thor. I mean, okay, if it was if it's to talk about favorites, Thor's my
you.
Favorite.
Yeah, for
100%.
Sure.
But also, Thor is super powerful, right?
Why did you do that? You knew it would do this. Stormbreaker is still making noise in the
you
background.
Need to turn him down. This house is clean.
Okay. So, Thor.
Just go with it.
Okay. So Thor is, you know, he's my favorite. He's super powerful. But also, in the face of all of his loss, everything that he has lost in his life, which is literally everything at this point, like, he still continues being the hero. He's still, you know, when it's time to pick up and do the thing, he picks up his trusty hammer, whichever one it is, he picks it up, he goes to town, he does the thing. Like, he is going to be there for everyone, regardless of the villain.
You know,
I mean, he makes an appearance.
For me, yeah, like, Thor's wonderful. The only reason I think, like, I love Thor's arc in the last few movies. I love his, like, a loss and his recovery and his understanding of his own value when Mjolnir will still come to him. It's all really beautiful. But for me, like, he still hasn't had that comeback moment. Like, he's in there in Endgame, but he's not the star of that last battle for me. Like, I think he's going to be in a place going forward where he's going to, like, know himself, and he's going to, like, be more secure in himself and, like, be himself for the first time. He talks about, at the end of the movie, like, you know, this was never really who I was. This being king thing, that's not who I am.
That's why he gave it over to Valkyrie. Like, he wasn't at his peak Thor potential. And, like, I can't wait to see what that's going to be in Thor Love and Thunder. Like, when he's finally at his potential, like, when he's not trying to just be sad or be someone's family or be part of a group that he's not. Like, Thor needs to find who he is, and all his friends are gone.
Yeah. All his family is gone.
And he's with a new family now, which is pretty awesome.
His world got blown up.
Cap is gone. Tony's dead. Nat's dead. Like, he's got Banner, who helped him a lot. Mm-hmm. But that's really it.
Rocket. Well, he also has Valkyrie.
He's with Rocket and Valkyrie. And
Korg and Meek are there. All right, so that gives us a pretty good... We have one tie to resolve.
Okay. And
I think I will give it... I don't know. I want to fight it. Our tie is for fifth place is Doctor Strange or Hulk?
Doctor Strange.
I think it's Doctor Strange.
Because I see that I am outnumbered. I just stand down.
Oh.
But Hulk was almost my number one. Like, he was real close.
He's super selfish, though. But, like, you're right, though. But he's also a little selfish.
In Age of Ultron, he had a moment. And he has had moments over the... They all have. But I think where he is... I was trying to give everybody, like, where they are now, I guess. But I'll go with that. I'm fine with it. We will resolve it that way.
The problem with Banner / Hulk is that early on, when he was being either Banner or Hulk, that heroic, you know, like, or I guess the moment where he was able to engage in the fight is also when he was the most reckless and destructive. And
sure. Fuck those buildings. Zack Snyder.
Right. No. At that point, he just had to be aimed at a thing and go for
destroy
it. You know, like,
Hulk smash.
Just go Hulk
Cap
smash.
Told him. He was like, Hulk smash.
He's so inaccurate in those early movies that, like, to the very end there, he's, like, still punching Thor just because there's no one left to punch. Like, such a great moment. But here, I guess I will make my case. And that is that I think the reason Doctor Strange did not make my list is because for me, it's more of his intentions than anything. Yes, he's powerful. I don't know that he's had the impact. I mean, he's sacrificial as heck, with his Dormammu's, confrontation. But for me, his intentions are always a little bit about the power. Like, I think that he wants power, to some degree. And he's also just, like, kind of full of himself in a way that Hulk is not, that Banner is not, in a way that, like, Banner is unassuming. And even though he has all this power, he is, like, he sort of has a humility that I think a hero needs. But as I said, I will back it off.
I like your points, but that's what only makes me like Doctor Strange more. But that isn't exactly like my hero, but I'm on your side for what you're saying, yeah.
Okay, so our final tally. Would you guys like our final top five here?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
And feel free to comment if you like. Number five, of course, Hulk, as I just mentioned.
Hulk smash.
Number four, we have Doctor Strange. Those are no surprises there, as we just talked about. Uh-huh. Yep. Number three, Thor.
Uh-huh. That makes sense.
I'll take it. I'll take it.
Number two, Black Widow.
Yes. That was my number two.
I like it. And number one,
Captain America.
Fireworks, 4th of July, apple pies. I mean, baseball.
All of those things. Star Spangled Man.
Red, white, blue in the sky.
It's always a really funny game to play to see who has the biggest impact on the list, because it's kind of random and like it just depends on who picks what you picked and all this stuff, and it's like Ashley got her one and her two. That's pretty in their positions. That's pretty great. And I don't think
I know the MCU.
Neither of us, like you didn't even pick Black Widow, and both of us had Cap at three. It's pretty great. But because we both picked Cap, he got pushed up over. That's great. I love this.
Well, because we both picked Cap and we both didn't pick anybody else the same.
Exactly. Because like, our lists were so diverse.
Just because I'm right.
Well, scientifically, yes, you win.
Science
has proven you right.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Now she's not right anymore.
We're going too far.
I'm just kidding.
All right, guys. That is all for this episode of the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We'll be back with Eternals tomorrow. I cannot wait. So excited. Come along. We're going to be doing it on Twitch. Yeah. Twitch live tomorrow, around 10/9 central or 10 Eastern, 9 central. We'll be going live to talk about Eternals, and we'd love y'all's feedback. So
twitch.tv/strandedpandatv.
That's right.
All them dots.
Or just go to Twitch and search for Stranded Panda TV. We're right there. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. Available everywhere you get podcasts, and now a video version streaming live on twitch.tv/strandedpandatv and available at youtube.com/strandedpanda. And if you'd like to learn more about all of our other podcasts, geeky projects, and ways to support the network, visit strandedpanda.com.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.